Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you ever wondered what makes a good public speaker? I mean, I had to go through a speaking class, as many of us have done in our education. And whenever I was getting up there, my teacher would say a couple of things that were just general rules for being a good public speaker. For one thing, you should probably know what you're talking about. It doesn't do anyone any good to start speaking about something if they can't get their facts straight. Not that anyone would ever speak like that in public. I'm pretty also sure that you have to look the part. It does your speech much better if you actually look compelling, if you look like you know what you're doing up there. And I'm pretty sure it's also important that you know how to articulate well, that you actually can, you know, say the things without stumbling over your words, or know exactly how to say and what to say before it even comes out of your mouth. I think we can picture a couple of times in our lives, whether we've heard a speech given by teachers, presidents, that we go on the TV and we look and we're thinking, yeah, that didn't go so well. But there's something compelling about a good public speaker. Someone who can grasp your attention from the very first words they utter. That they can spark imagination. That you want to hear them continue on and on. When we hear a good public speaker, we really start to listen. And I'm going to tell you the truth. There has been almost no better public speaker in the history of mankind than John the Baptist. And if we all could remember those good old movies from either the 1980s about Jesus, the big long films, or even some of the newer films about his life, they always pick, I think, some of the best people to play John the Baptist. They always usually get a tall and imposing figure with a great big beard, usually all scraggly. And he always has this large and booming voice. And even the Bible tends to make John into almost a larger-than-life figure. I mean, if a guy comes walking out of a desert, clothed in nothing but camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey, and just shouting something, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight," you're either going to listen to him or be frightened. He's one of the two. But John speaks with conviction. He speaks with authority. And he speaks in ways that spark our imagination. Listen to how Luke even starts this off. John says to the crowds before him, "You brood of vipers." Okay, maybe I would have a softer start than that if you're doing a public speech. "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these very stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Here we can see that John is hitting those criteria of being a great public speaker. His words just spark your imagination. His words are speaking with conviction, with passion. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about here. He also is very well articulated. When the crowds went and asked him, "What then shall we do?" he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise." The tax collectors that also came to be baptized, they said, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." He knows what he's talking about. He's even predicted to come. Isaiah the prophet predicted John to come. The same Isaiah who predicts Jesus to come spends time and is told by God to prophesy that this man, clothed in camel's hair, with a great booming voice is to come and prepare the way of the Lord. I tell you, he's a big act to follow. We have this idea of John being this loud, magnanimous figure. He's powerful. He's strong. He goes out and he preaches with conviction. He tells people what needs to be said and done. There are often times when I looked at John's story, when I looked at what he was saying, I just thought to myself, man, why can't I be like that? Why can't I have that courage to go out and preach to everybody, no matter how hard it could be? Why can't I just go out there and actually talk about Jesus or even prepare his way without any fear? And if I'm going to do any more comparing, I might as well look at all the other people in the Bible who, like John, had these wonderful criteria of public speaking. There was Paul, who wrote such beautiful letters encouraging Christians. How can I ever be like that? How can I ever be like Peter or John, who were faithful to Jesus after he was taken away from heaven, to write and encourage the churches under persecution? How can I do all of these things? I'm not good enough. I can't preach like John, write like Paul, or sing like the angels on Christmas Day? What can I do? What am I good for? It doesn't even help that John himself was so popular that people actually thought he was the Christ, the promised Messiah of old. He was so popular and so well beloved that people wanted him to be their Savior. And yet, John said this, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, and he whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John's entire ministry is indeed strong and filled with great compelling words, great imagery. And yet, it never was about himself. It was never about how well he was preaching. It was never about how well he was increasing his popularity, but how well he was doing. It was all for the one coming after him, the one whose advent we are waiting for to celebrate his first coming into this world in Bethlehem on that Christmas night, whose coming we are still waiting for, even now, with great hope and joy. It is the same hope and joy that John was preaching for. It was for Christ. It was for him to come. It was for him that John was waiting for, and him who he was speaking for, whom he was preparing the way for. This is all very strange to the people. They thought this wonderful figure who was speaking such wonderful words, surely he was going to be the Christ. He looked the part. And yet, there would come one after him who is the Christ. And he would come humbly. He would have no beauty that people would desire him. And yet he would speak with power. He would have no large booming voice, but instead speak in a soft whisper about the promises of God. And he would not come with camel's hair straight from the desert, but he would come from the wilderness, proclaiming that repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Believe in the gospel. This is who John was preparing for. It was Christ. And even after all of this, there were some who were still confused. Some who were still wondering, why isn't John doing what he's doing? So Some of his disciples even went to him after they saw Jesus' popularity spring up, and they said to John, "John, what's going on here? Your cousin is getting more popular than you." And John replied, "This is how it should be. I must decrease so that he might increase. In this, we are all like John. All of us preach about God's coming. We all speak about Christ coming again and what he has done for us, whether it be through our words, whether it be through baptism, whether it be just through our actions. We all speak of Christ coming and the glory that he has given to us. And it doesn't matter how good we look when doing it. It doesn't matter about how compelling even our speeches can be. For it doesn't matter what we do. For the Holy Spirit that is within us speaks for us. It is the Holy Spirit who advocates for Christ. We will always decrease, and Christ will always increase in us. And there's not to say that there will be times when it might seem impossible. There will not be times when our faith might be even tested by great tribulation. There might not even be times when it sometimes is hard to see Christ increasing, both within us and in the world. And John himself even felt these things. Imprisoned by Herod, he sent his disciples to Jesus. He was afraid. He was questioning. And he said, "Are you the Christ?" A man who spoke with a loud, magnanimous voice, who spoke with conviction, who spoke with power, now it says in a small, trembling voice, "Are you the Christ?" And when we even ask that, in the midst of all this tribulation, amidst all heartache and sorrow of this world, we remember what Jesus said to John. "See, the sick are made well. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. And those who are dead are brought to life. Go and tell." So for us, let us always remember that even though we might not be able to speak and preach like John, whether we might not be able to articulate as well as Paul or sing with the beauty of angels, we have Christ who comes to us this Advent season as a little babe, who will come to us again in power and glory. Let us always remember that we are in Christ, that we must decrease, and that Christ, no matter what happens, will always increase. Amen.